Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, September 26th. As we're looking at the weekend coming up, I'm excited for once. I'm going to have some plans for a change. If you guys want to join us on Facebook today, we have a guest and no co-host today. So you can go to Facebook and go to LA Talk Radio's page and you'll see us there. And just a lot going on in the news, but we're not going to go over any of this because we try to keep politics out of the show. And instead, I'm joined by a guest this morning that got here actually before I did. And I'm joined by Kate Scudder. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam.
Of course. And it was crazy because I was in heavy traffic and your publicist says, she's lost, she can't find it, you know, and stuff. And I knew that it's probably Google Maps that took you to the wrong place.
It's true.
And sure enough, you confirmed it, right?
That's right. And everyone has been telling me to get Waze, and I'm stuck in my ways with Google Maps, but I'm converted now.
No, it's time to change, yeah. Once you get used to Waze, you can't go back to Google or even Apple's Maps because it's just so accurate, and you get real-time results and all that stuff. It's got a lot of information to it, so... But I don't know. I think somebody told me that Google bought Waze, and if they did, then they're going to screw that one up too,
oh,
probably.
No.
Yeah.
This episode is not hosted by Waze.
And not even sponsored by them. Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Do you live here in LA, or are you visiting? What is?
Not yet. I don't live here yet. I'm just visiting on this trip, but my husband and I are actually planning to move out here.
Really?
Yep.
So where do you live now?
Currently, we're based in Portland, Maine. We actually just relocated from Bali, where we've been abroad for the last 3 or 4 years.
Three or four years in Bali?
Yeah, 3.5. Yep.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, I mean, did you guys work there or did you just have fun for 4 years?
I mean, both. Working and having fun.
Wow.
Yep.
What's there to do in Bali? What did you do there?
Drank a lot of coconuts, swam a lot. No, but there's actually an amazing entrepreneurial scene there. There's a lot of startups, a lot of digital nomads, you know, living that laptop lifestyle. So there's a lot of amazing creative entrepreneurs starting really cool projects.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Hold on a second. Okay, I just want to make sure I did this right. Sometimes I just freak out. I start questioning myself. Did I close the door? Did I do this? Did I press the button, you know?
So many things.
I know, you know, and it's like, especially when you get here in the morning, there's a million things to do. I have to rush. And literally a million things to do in the morning, you know. So, wow, I'm jealous. I've never been to Bali before.
Oh, you have to go. It's amazing.
So what made you go there and for such a long period of time? I mean, it seems like a tourist destination, not necessarily a place to live.
It is. And you know, it's funny. I actually went as a tourist of sorts. I went to Bali. So 6 months after I quit my teaching job, I went to graduate school to become a teacher because I've always loved education.
Uh-huh.
But I realized really quickly I didn't want to teach in a classroom and I needed to give myself space to figure out what I wanted to do. So I found a 500-hour yoga teacher training actually with a specific focus in women's leadership. And that's what took me to Bali in February of 2015.
Uh-huh.
And had a completely transformational experience. And a couple days after the training, right before I was set to leave, is when I locked eyes with my now husband. And
that's what I figured. So you met in Bali, right?
Yeah, went for the self-development, fell in love, and ended up moving there because
wow.
He'd been living there for a few years prior.
Really?
Yep.
And what made him go there? I mean, is he American? Or?
No, he's actually Australian.
Oh.
Originally from Sydney. And Toby was, you know, really living the fast life in Sydney, successful commercial real estate. And I think he just realized what, you know, this hustle and grind is not what it's all about.
Right.
And the lifestyle in Bali is just so beautiful and integrated. And there's a lot of, you know, conscious people there, a lot of spiritual people there, but a lot of creative people there as well. And that felt a lot more his speed.
Wow. You see, I'm dreaming of something like that. I'm like, why am I here? You know, I mean, I've been in LA for 40 years. 40 is a long time.
Mm.
And I'm ready to move somewhere else. I've seen some other places and I'm like, there's got to be more than just this, you know, just the hustle.
Absolutely.
Because all we do is we're chasing our tails, making money so we can pay for our lifestyle, you know.
Right.
But I figured go to a place where everything costs half and you work half as hard, you know.
Right, but can enjoy it more.
Yeah, you know.
It is funny, though, because I think that there's a real, you know, the grass is always greener because mm-hmm. After living in Bali for years on end, you know, not as a tourist, there's definitely the, oh, I have to leave every 60 days because of the visa. Oh, there's no Amazon Prime here. You know, we miss what we don't have.
Right, absolutely. That's why I would never trade this country for anything, right? Have you traveled to other places in the world?
Yes. I've done quite a bit of traveling. Traveled a bit throughout Southeast Asia, Australia, obviously, my husband being from there, mm-hmm. throughout Europe. And I actually lived and worked in Costa Rica for a little while as well.
Really? Yeah. So you like being away.
Yes, I do.
Different
it's actually,
cultures and stuff.
Yes, I've lived outside of the United States more in the last 10 years than I have inside. So this is it'll be a big move for us because we'll really plant ourselves here.
Right. So you're going to move to LA or a different place?
Yes, to LA.
Okay, but now you're in Portland, Maine.
Yes, I know. Quite a big difference.
Yeah, I know. but it's beautiful up there, right?
It is. It's beautiful. It's, you know, it's just a really peaceful part of the world. Amazing food. Oh my gosh, if you like food, it's such a great city to be, especially seafood. It's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Maine lobster.
Exactly.
Like that, right?
Yep.
The only thing I know about Maine is that all of the Stephen King books take place there. Not in Portland, but he makes up like, you know, little towns and things like that. But yeah, I've read so much of his books and it's always Maine because that's where he lives, you know. I think he lives in a place called Bangor or something.
Okay,
yeah,
that's north of Portland.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So how long have you lived in Portland? I mean, is this a place where you lived before?
No, it's kind of a temporary spot for us. My family is based out of there. So my husband actually just got his green card 2 weeks ago. So we just landed in the Portland area and give ourselves time to go through all that processing because I don't know if you've been through that or know anyone who's been through that, but it's a real endeavor to, you know, have your significant other get that. So we've just landed there temporarily while we figure out where we want to be, and we picked LA.
Oh, very nice. Well, you're gonna like it here, and besides, we don't have enough people here. We need more people, so you're welcome. We only have 4 million people here, but you know, New York is worse because they have 8 million and they're in less area than we are.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'll tell you, I've been down to New York quite a bit. That's another reason. I'm from New England originally, so Maine fit, but I had a lot of stuff going on in New York in the last few months. And I tell you, I go into the city and I feel like my finger's plugged into an electrical socket. It's it's so high intensity and
it
high
is,
energy.
Right?
And that concentration of people, I'm sure, has something to do with that.
Yeah, that's a big concentration of people, I got to tell you. But it's not like you don't feel them here. It's just that you see them rather than on the sidewalks. You see them on the roads, on the freeways.
Right.
But so you better get used to that. But that's pretty much the only downside here to LA. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful things here. And obviously, you have a career and everything, which we're going to talk about as well. So you decided... Now, so you decided L.A., why? Because you didn't want New York, but you still wanted a big city? Or?
That's right. And, you know, it's kind of halfway between where I'm from and where my husband's from. we've got some family on his side here. And, you know, I think more than anything, it's just the people, the connections. It's such an inspired place to be and so many movers and shakers on the ground. And it's good to be in that buzz.
Yeah. Wow, I can't get over you meeting. Well, the thing is that actually I had a co-host several years ago. She took a trip to Australia, mm-hmm. met a British guy, and then went back and married him, you know? So it seems to happen a lot.
It
that
does.
Eat, pray, love type of
thing. Oh my gosh, I know. I tell our story and people are like, are you sure that you didn't just cop them? Like, it really happened. We met on the beach in Bali.
Right. And did you go by yourself to Bali?
I did.
Really?
Yes.
So you're pretty independent.
Yes, definitely. I think that was one of the reasons that, you know, I was open and available to meet him. I wasn't just keeping an agenda with a bunch of other people.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I tend to do also when I travel. I mean, it's probably equal, but I like traveling by myself too sometimes because, You have that freedom to do whatever you want, whenever you want, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you meet more people when you're not just in your little bubble or your little entourage. You're more open to connections.
That's true, because you need to talk to someone.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Very cool. So so you're visiting now for how long in L.A.?
Until Saturday.
Till Saturday.
Yep,
so what, you're coming to explore and scout?
Exactly.
The land?
Work out the different neighborhoods and feel out where we want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice. So, I mean, you guys probably would like close to the beach, right? You come from a beachy place.
Yeah. Well, actually, we didn't live in the beach in Bali. We lived in a town called Ubud, which is about an hour from the water. Which, if we live in West Hollywood, is also probably an hour with traffic.
Yeah, it is easily.
We're still deciding, but I mean, the water is beautiful. That running in Santa Monica, we did that over the weekend, which was great.
It just as you go south, you get closer to the beach, and it's. And you get more expensive too, you know. I mean, these houses, they are like unbelievable. And usually they belong to celebrities and stuff. You'll see when you go down, like if you go to Hermosa and what's the other one? I just forgot about it. But I spaced out completely. But Hermosa Beach, for example, Redondo, they have what they call the Strand, you know, which is like an area where people walk. And like a path where people walk and bike and things like that. Manhattan Beach, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, how can I forget that? Well, I don't know. Sometimes I just space out.
Well, there's a lot of beaches around.
Yeah, yeah. But what I was going to say is, like, so there's houses right there on the Strand. I mean, you come out of the house, there's the sand and the beach, you know.
Yep.
So some people know how to live, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Are you like... a person who's looking to make a lot of money in your life?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But
I mean,
you
know, I'm not talking about wishing. I'm talking about doing. And that's so, because a lot of people wish for millions of dollars, but they don't do anything.
Well, that's the thing. And that I see that all the time in the industry that I'm in. And, you know, that gap between, and I think this is a really interesting conversation around, you know, manifestation. It's like, oh, I set this vision for the thing that I want, but I think that all I have to do is just wish for it or slap it on a vision board, and then it's going to come into reality. And I believe so much that, you know, those dreams that we set, those visions that we set, that happens through deciding and through committing to taking action.
That's true, for sure. So, you know, I hope you're not sitting away from the camera, because let me just look on Facebook real quick. Do you have it there?
I
moved to the side. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, no, I'm on the camera.
Okay, good.
We're good. Very good. We're in there.
Sure.
I'm going to scooch in a little more, but I'm totally in there.
No, no, you're fine. If you're there, you're fine.
Yeah.
It just said I make it like tight and stuff, the angle of the camera.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, like, it just occurred to me at the end, we'll see that half of you
right,
is cut
half
off
of my face.
So tell us a little bit about what it is that you do, Kate. So you said you see a lot of that. That's because you work with people, right? You're a coach.
Yes, I am.
Okay, so tell us.
For sure. So I'm a business coach for women entrepreneurs. So I support women who are starting a personal brand or looking to scale the business that they already have and hit the six-figure level. That's really what I do. So I see a lot of the time women who look on Instagram and see, oh, like, look at what she's doing. I could do that as well. But there's not the action step of, I'm going to do the things required to build myself up to that position.
Yeah. So, and what made you, what qualified you to do that? How much experience do you have and what have you done?
Yeah. So, well, like I mentioned before, my background in what I studied is education.
Education, right.
And so, so I've definitely, you know, I see that a lot in the way that I build out programs now, because I do coaching, you know, one-on-one coaching, which I'm scaling a little bit out of now, but I also do a lot of group programs and course development. And so much of my training and background from education applies directly to
that. Wow. Very cool.
You know, outside of formal training, I've also have been an athlete from the time I was super little. So I've had coaches in my life since I was literally 5 years old. I was actually recruited to play basketball in college, but decided not to, which probably isn't surprising. As you saw, I'm quite tall. you know, I really know and have felt the value in my life of having somebody push me and see my potential and see when I'm tired and push me to get to that next step. So I think that I bring a lot of that fire with me and apply it to the business space. But that's some of, you know, just the world that I come from. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I really bring to the table as well a lot of that, you know, yoga teacher, more mindfulness, spirituality kind of side of things. I did that 500-hour training with a focus in women's leadership. And so for me, you know, developing my coaching business, I actually started out more as a female empowerment life coach, if you will. And what I found was that every single time that I, because that took off quite quickly, I was living in Bali and that's where I started my business. You know, as I would support my clients to come back into their power, to reclaim their voice, to set stronger boundaries, to really declare what they want and make a roadmap to go after it, they'd be like, okay, I'm all in. I'm ready to do this. Now I want to make something out of this. I want to start a business. Like, how did you do what you're doing? And so I found myself coaching in the business space, like very, very early on. And that's when I said, wow, this is actually the area, the niche spot that I feel the most passionate about empowering women in, is empowering women to make more impact, to make more income, and to build a brand that serves the world.
Right. And I mean, people talk about unequal pay and things like this, but I would say if a woman started her own business or did her own thing, none of that would happen.
It's interesting, you know, because I do some of these interviews and that conversation comes up of like the gender gap and the, you know, different pay and position. And I don't feel isolated from that, but I'm in a totally different lane because I'm making my own rules. I'm my own boss. There's no one above me that's, you know, paying a man more than me. Like, I get to set the rules. And so, you know, I certainly have a lot of friends in corporate who experience that. I think it's absolutely a very real thing. And I think there's so many amazing women, you know, at the forefront of that argument and of that work. But for myself, I don't experience it on the day to day. And I think that's one thing that actually is so appealing to women to start their own businesses, is they get to be their own boss. They get to call the shots.
Yeah. I mean, that drives men too, definitely. You know, that's why I've always had my own business, because I didn't want to answer to anybody,
right.
You know?
Yep.
And plus, you know, you've got your own ideas, your own things, you know, you're like, let me work on my dream, not on somebody else's dream.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
And what's really cool is that, you know, because I have amazing people on my team, I don't have any full-time employees, but I have incredible women on my team, and their thing is like, they're working for themselves. They have their own business, but their business is devoted to filling gaps, you know, let's say working more on the back end of a business. And I think that it's an amazing world we live in now, where even if your personality isn't wanting to be, you know, that voice on air or that person on stage, you can have your own business and be the person who's editing in the background, or really find what your zone of genius is. I talk about that a lot, you know, really figuring out what that zone of genius is and building your business around that.
Right. Does everybody have one, you think?
I do. You can take my quiz. There's a zone of genius quiz on my website.
Oh, really? Well, give out the website. Let people do that.
Absolutely. So it's katescudder.com, CAITSCUDDER.com. And the zone of genius quiz is the first thing that you'll see on there.
Yeah, the zone of genius. I see. How to discover how to use your niche, genius to elevate your impact, influence, and income. And wow, that sounds pretty cool. You know, so how did you put this together? This is asking you.
Yes.
Like, so you can think a little about what you can do, what you can do.
Absolutely. So the software I use, I think it's called Interact. But yes, we developed. So I basically identified these major core archetypes based on the different strengths and skill sets that I saw so many of my, and you know, we looked at a lot of other sort of personality assessment, strengths assessment kind of quizzes, but I really took that information, that really industry rich information, and then compared it to the kinds of people that I have been serving and have seen in the different skill sets, broke down those types, and then figured out the questions and built the quiz out from there.
Wow. And how many types are there?
There are six.
Six types.
Yes.
Wow. Well, we're not going to remember all of them, so let's let people find out about them. But, well, actually, no. So it probably won't take more than an hour to go over all of them, but we don't need to.
Right, exactly.
But on your website, I see there's a lot of things. You have like resources and stuff. What can people find on the website?
Absolutely. So I am such a firm believer in resources at all levels. I know when I was first starting out, just dreaming about starting a business, I listened to so many podcasts and read a lot of free stuff. So the free resources on my website, I have a podcast that you can listen to if you go to Apple or iTunes, Born to Rise. Every other week, I provide a workshop-style solo teaching episode. And then the off weeks, I do an interview with an amazing, you know, inspirational female entrepreneur who's built something incredible across different industries. So the podcast is a resource that's on there. There's a sales training that is really powerful. A lot of women that I serve struggle when it comes to sales. There's this feeling of, I don't want to be that used car salesman. I don't want to, you know, twist someone's arm and manipulate them. And I feel so passionately about this because I believe, you know, when we have something, a gift, a product, a service that helps other people solve a problem and gives them a solution, it's the highest act of service that we can do to sell them our products.
So that's true. And you don't have to try and convince them or anything.
Oh, no.
I mean, there's still a sales process and everything.
Of course.
But you're right. If you're meeting a demand, if you're meeting a want or a need,
yes,
then there's no need to hard sell to people.
It's true. It's true. And I think that, you know, I'm actually teaching a sales program right now. It's one of my paid group programs. And we've spent the first month. We're not even talking about, you know, closing the call or nailing the pitch. We're talking about creating an environment that encourages people, that makes it easy for people to buy. So are you putting out content that adds value to their lives, that gives them a transformation before they even pay you a cent? Because if you're doing that work and creating that relationship before you have anything to sell or before you try to sell anything, then they're already sold. You
That's
don't need
true.
To do the work in that moment.
Yeah. So it's always about yourself, especially when you run your own business.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it's the business is you. You are the business.
That's it. And I love that you said that, because one of the other resources on the website is there's a free little mindset audio. But then I had this crazy vision when I was in Bali. Good thing about being around so many, you know, creative people. But I recorded an hour long mindset album, really. There was nothing else like it. It's kind of like an audio training, but I hired a music producer and we co-wrote this amazing music that has my voice kind of speaking over it for an hour. And so it's this danceable mindset audio meditation to really help people come back into that sense of being unstoppable, that sense of really connecting with why you're here, what your purpose is, and that sense of empowerment to then go do it, like we were talking about before. And I think that when you are your own business, your mindset is everything. It's so, so important.
It really is, right? Because, I mean, if you're down, your business is going to go down.
Exactly.
You know, if you're energetic and everything and put in the effort and you love what you do, then you can't fail, you know?
That's
I mean, you
so
continue
true.
Going. And I can tell that from experience also, you know what I mean? This station here I've had for 12 years already.
It's amazing.
And, you know, I've started several businesses in my life. And when you feel that you want to get up in the morning and go to work every day, you know you're doing the right thing.
Absolutely. You know? I couldn't agree more.
And conversely, you know, if you hate going to work, you got to leave, you know?
Absolutely.
You
got to
change something about
That's true.
It.
It's yeah. true. And I think it's scary for people. You know I felt terrified of that when I walked away from my job. I just, you know, I think like most people, you think about, well, there goes my health insurance. There goes my stable income. There goes all of this stuff. But what we don't see in that moment is, you're giving yourself the space to find something that really does light you up so that you can wake up in the morning feeling just so much energy and ready to get into it.
That's true, you know, and that's why they say, you know, if you do what you love, you never have to work a day in your
life.
Right,
which
you know?
I have to say, I don't believe, I definitely work.
Yeah,
but, you know,
exactly.
But it's funny, it's like, I feel like there's almost different kinds of struggles. I don't know if you feel this. There's like the struggle of, I'm miserable, like hit the alarm, I got to do another day. And then there's the struggle of like creative problem solving, have to figure it out. And that it, while it is still work, it's fun and it feels like you're just in your zone doing what you have to do. So I don't know if you find that as well, but it's almost like there's a different quality of work.
No, absolutely. You know, but like I said, it does consume you, especially in the beginning. I remember it was like 24/7. That's all that's on my mind.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
it's your baby.
Yeah. Actually, now 12 years later, it's still the biggest thing in my mind. Still requires most of my time, you know. But I guess we got to make priorities too, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Because the business consumes you and everything, but you still got to have a, a life, you know? And,
absolutely.
And that's one thing that I haven't managed to do. It's like I need to figure out a way to get more time, more free time, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess we'll have time to rest when we die, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
While we're alive, let's keep working, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I think that one of the things that's really, because I completely relate with what you're saying of just that hustle and grind in the beginning, and that it's still the biggest thing in your mind. And I'd say those two things are true for me as well. One of the things I've found to be super helpful with that is like really setting rules for myself that sometimes I break, but like, you know, having those boundaries of I'm not answering, you know, unless there's like a special meeting based on some funky time zone or something. I'm not answering clients after a certain hour in the day. I'm not getting on client calls after 6 o'clock, or I'm not going to, you know, there's always going to be more. And what are the things, and this is actually something I do with some of my clients, is identifying what your core values are. So if you really value the, you know, a lot of the women that I serve really value the female friendships in their lives, and that whether they're moms and have families or they don't and they're single, you know, their relationships with their friends are so important. So it's like translating those values into your calendar. That's something that I think is so helpful to anybody, not just women, but to anybody who's like finds that the workday creeps on till 9 o'clock and you're like, well, how did
that
happen?
True, yeah. Mine used to be till 2 o'clock in the morning. Are you kidding?
Oh my gosh.
But it's better now.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, that totally makes sense, you know, because you're creating a structure for yourself.
Yeah.
A little framework, like you said, boundaries where you know, okay, right now I'm putting work on the back burner and I'm going to go see my friend, or I'm going to go out or.
Yeah, or go to the yoga class or go
right.
for a run or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying, you know, so you coach people about all this stuff and, well, women.
Yes.
Mostly.
Yes.
And so why did you decide to do it just for women? You felt that there's a bigger need, or is it like a personal?
It's a personal choice. I mean, I definitely think there's a need for both, you know, business and mindset support for men and women. Absolutely. For me, I feel the most inspired working with women. I actually do have a few male clients.
Right.
I open one of my programs up to be co-ed. We've got one guy in there now. He's awesome. But I really feel that so much of the drive and the why behind my work is the driving value of women supporting women. And I think that I've witnessed this over and again in my life, the support that I've received from other women. And what happens when I support other women, it's incredible what we can create. And so there's that, you know, just connection to that movement that I feel really strongly with, which
yeah.
I want to say is different from some like, you know, angry men are bad kind of a movement. It's really not that at all. It's really this feeling of, wow, when we tap into our power as women, what gets to be possible, not just for ourselves as, you know, one half of the population, but for all of us.
Yeah. So you started this back in Bali, right?
I did, yes.
So yeah, like mostly like online?
Completely online.
Like, wow.
I grew my business in the first year to 6 figures just for my laptop. I didn't have a fancy studio. I didn't have anything. It was me working out of my laptop.
Wow, amazing. And you were helping people that way.
Yes, yes.
And how did people find you?
I mean, so social media has been a massive tool for me, leveraging Instagram, Facebook. I have a Facebook group that I host, and I started when I first started my business. Started out really small, and you know, I just started putting out content, video content, written content, blog articles. I was publishing some guest articles, and you know, had a first draft of my website up when I first started out. And I think it's incredible with what is possible now at our fingertips using social media to spread the word and spread content. Before I started growing an email list, it was social media that really allowed me to put my message out and have clients resonate with that.
Right. And you're strong in that now,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's one of the things that I teach my clients and I support them with.
Wow. Yeah, because I can't figure out some of the platforms. I mean, no, I know how to use them. I just can't figure out why I'm not growing more audience and
yes.
stuff, you know. But I know people like you, it's like you spend a lot of time with it. You can figure it out.
Yes.
You know what to put out and everything and what people want, you know?
That's right. And I think what's interesting is like we're not living in a time where you take one Instagram course and then you've learned it all. Or you take a Facebook course and then you're the master. These platforms are so dynamic. They're ever changing. And what I find really interesting, because I see this a lot, is people going to a platform to apply something they've learned, be it from a course or from a podcast or something, and then they ask that question, like, why isn't it working? And it's not always the science, but also the art. Like, is your message really resonating with the people that you are sharing with? Are you giving people a reason to stop scrolling and to spend, 15 seconds consuming whatever content that you've put out? And so that's one of the things that I try to be really mindful of, is to diversify my content. So put out education type content, inspiring content, stories, and really mix it all together so that people are constantly getting something fresh and a voice that's real.
Right, and interesting.
That's right.
Yeah, you're giving good content, because some people on Instagram will just put nice, sexy pictures on there.
Right.
But that, I guess they get the followers because it resonates with some people.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not like they're educating anybody. It's not like, it's... But they can still do it.
Right.
So.
But I think that depends on, like, for me, I have no reason to do that because I'm not looking to, like, attract, like, some men who just want to, like, stare at my body.
Right. That's not what you're about.
Exactly. I want women who are, working on feeling, like they can set better boundaries in their lives, or who can scale their company from whatever revenue they're stuck at now to 3x it. Like, I want to speak to them. And I think that this brings up a really good point about knowing your audience, knowing who your audience, your ideal audience is, and creating content now, even before you have those, hundreds of thousands of followers, that speaks to them, because it's almost like, tuning into the right frequency. When you're speaking to them, they're going to start to find you.
That's true. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Let me just, let's see. Oh, we got plenty of time. I wanted to ask you about, you told me a little bit about the TEDx TED Talks, whatever it is.
Yes.
I never really watched it, but
okay.
Is it called TEDx?
TEDx, yes. So there's two, actually. So TED, the organization, puts out, a centralized series of talks, but TEDx's are independently organized, and so there are hundreds of TEDx all around the world each year, and so the talk I did was a TEDx, in Oneonta, New York.
And what did you talk about there?
So the topic was called Rising is a Risk, Do It Anyway. And I covered the three biggest fears that hold us back from achieving the goals that we want and how to overcome them.
Wow. What are they?
The fear of failure, the fear of success, and the fear of disappointing other people.
Oh, wow. Now, I never was able to figure out the fear of success. What does that mean?
Yeah, so the fear of success, I think that the other people call this like upper limiting or, what have you. But this is the idea that, if we start to, it's almost like feeling a sense. I don't know if you've experienced this before, but I can do whatever I want, or I've got a lot of creative stuff inside of me. If I really go for this, my situation is going to change. My circumstance is going to change. What if I outgrow the people in my life? What if I end up needing to move for my work? What if I end up outshining my partner? And is that going to change our marriage? What if I, these are the kinds of thoughts of the fear of,
interesting,
when
that's
I
true.
Hit my next level, is everything going to change? And am I going to be okay with that? And I think what's underneath the fear of success, and I talked a little bit about this in the TED Talk, is it's a self-trust kind of thing. Like, am I going to be able to navigate the uncertainty that comes with the next level that I'm moving to?
Right. So even if you do well, you have those doubts of whether you're going to be able to actually do that or maintain it or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I see this a lot with my clients who have like a really big month. They hit their first 20K month in their business, or, they land a massive deal. And then there's like this moment of celebration and almost this dread right after of, oh my gosh, well, what if I can't do it again? What if that was just a fluke? What if I was just lucky? And
right.
I think that this is one of the things that as we grow and elevate in our businesses, businesses and also in our personal lives, learning to really trust that the more I can repeat this success, I'm capable, I've done this already, and I'm capable of doing what it takes to continue to grow.
Right. So you definitely encourage people. I mean, and people bring you on for like an ongoing basis, right?
Or, yes.
Because it's not just once. Once is not enough. I mean, you have to guide them through the process.
That's right. And I created a bunch of or wants help mapping out their business plan for the next 6 months. I do offer one-off consultations, but the real work that I do, and I only offer a really small number of those, but I work privately and then in a mastermind for a year-long program with women over time, because you're absolutely right. I think the best results, the best sustained success comes from having someone in your corner over a period of time. I mean, I've been working with one of the mentors that I have now for over a year, and I'm going to just keep going because, you know, when you have somebody that really understands you, that understands your blind spots, and that understands the vision that you have, that's when you're going to get the best results.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. It's like almost like having a therapist, you know, a regular therapist.
Right, a therapist who also can speak business, but also can speak to the crazy in your head. And it's so funny that you say that because, you know, the more that I grow in business, the more that I find with my mentor, like we're talking 90% mindset stuff. We're talking maybe like 10% team or, you know, strategy and things like that. But I really build that strategy out. And we talk about that a bit, but it's really, as I grow, getting out of my own way,
right,
that's the real work.
Right. And that's amazing that even you have a mentor also.
Yep.
Because it's never, you know, you never want to stop learning.
No way. And right? I have multiple mentors, actually. I hired a special coach for my TEDx because I do a lot of videos. I do a lot of speaking, but most of my style is more off the cuff. I actually just started an IGTV series called Off the Cuff with Kate because I just get an idea and I riff on it and I drop that inspiration or that teaching content. But a TEDx was very different. I was out of my wheelhouse, and I believe so much that if we want to be excellent at something, like I want to shortcut the 5 years of making mistakes and hire an expert who's walked the path ahead of me and can help me shortcut that process.
Right.
And I believe, and I just continue to do that in all areas of my business. You know, and this mentor that I have also, you know, supports me with some personal life stuff. And it's just having that support is a real game changer.
Wow. I guess you're right. You know, it's better than trying to do everything yourself.
Yes. And I think as a culture, we still have so much fear and stigma around that. This, like, I don't know if it's shame, but it's this feeling of, you know, I've got to be self-made. We love to talk about that in America. And I just think it's, to be honest, I think it's rubbish. Like, I don't think anybody is self-made. I think that a person can be self-motivated and do the work and start from nothing and overcome so many obstacles and build huge success. And if we want to call that self-made, okay. But to me, you know, every person who's come in to support you at any stage along the way, I'm thinking about the day that I did my TEDx. I got my hair done and chatting with the lady at the hair salon who made me feel really confident on the stage, or getting back to the hotel and realizing my iron was broken in the hotel room and calling down to reception and one of the house cleaners ironed my pants that I wore that day literally 5 minutes before. And you know, I think about all of these little things and all of the people at every single moment that go into support somebody who's standing on stage or speaking on air and in the limelight. And it's like, they didn't get there by themselves. Yeah. They had so much help along the way.
That's true. And especially when you want to grow, I mean, you just can't handle, there's only so much business or work you can handle by yourself.
It's
true. And also the skills that you have. And not only that, but even your mindset, you know, you need people to be there to criticize you, to point out things.
Absolutely.
You know, and not necessarily just to do the work, you know, but to really let you reflect, you know, get somebody from the outside to look.
Absolutely.
And see what you're doing, you know. So very interesting. So you guide, you guide women like through the whole process, right?
Through the whole process. I mean, some clients come to me, they already have a business going. They might already be hitting, you know, 5 figures recurring in their business, but they're looking to scale. But I also work with women who are just at the stage of, you know, I've been doing XYZ work in another field, or I've been working for someone else and I'm looking to start my own business. So I work with you know, just starting out entrepreneurs and then entrepreneurs who are looking to scale.
Yeah. And what about when they want to sell it? Are you familiar with that as well?
I don't work with a lot of companies that are looking to like scale themselves out and then sell their company, because right. most of the women that I work with have a business model where they are the face of their personal brand. So, yeah. Which is an interesting dynamic, and it's interesting that you should bring that up, because I think I don't want to say it's one of the downfalls of the like coaching sort of thought leader industry, but it is definitely a problem in terms of number one, de-risking the business. So, you know, if I get into a car accident, there goes Kate Scudder International, you know, right. aside from like it being sad if I die, but like there goes my business, there goes my company. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the company that makes this water bottle, if something terrible happens to someone in that business, the show can go on. And so it's definitely a problem, you know, that has to be kind of looked around. And that's one of the reasons that we're going to be focusing a lot next year on building out courses and building out products, and like the Rise Mindset Mastery album that I was speaking to, that's got my energy and my inspiration and a message, but it's something that people can buy and it doesn't require my time right then and there.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can be whatever you want in the
yeah.
world,
yeah.
doing whatever you want.
Exactly.
Like partying in Bali and stuff.
Exactly.
Well, you've had an exciting life so far, and you're still young. You still got a very long way to go, and I congratulate you for that. What's in the future for you as far as your company? Is it just you for now? Like you said, you have people helping out.
Yes, I have. So I've got 5 people on my team for now. We're probably going to be looking to hire a few more people definitely into next year. But yeah, I mean, the plans for the future are big and bright. I'm going to be working, really focusing on, I'm scared to even say this on air, but writing a book for, this is the fear of success. Like if
right?
I speak this, I have to do it. What's going to happen then and there? But yes, so writing a book is something that's going to come next. I really see a lot more speaking engagements in the future after doing the TEDx for sure, and scaling back on the one-on-one work that I do. I've served a lot of one-on-one clients in the last few years. And really, you know, amping up the longer term programs, because as I said, those are the programs that generate the most powerful results.
Yeah.
So we're actually relaunching the Rise Mastermind, which is my signature mastermind for female entrepreneurs, starting later in October.
Okay.
That's going to go again. That's a year long mastermind. And then, yeah, lots of great programs, courses, and other exciting things coming in 2020.
That's cool. And I saw on your website, we were talking about this thing you're going to have October 3rd or something?
October 5th, yes.
Oh, October 5th.
Born to Rise Live. So
okay.
That is a one-day summit, personal and professional development summit for women. That's going to be in downtown Portland. I'm so excited for that.
That's Portland, Maine, folks. Don't fly to Oregon or anything.
Yes, exactly.
You know? Wow. 100 women. Wow. That'll be cool, you know, because,
yes.
I guess, you know, women, when they get together, they have similar backgrounds, similar views, similar perspective on things, you know. So I can see where that would work, you know, where you leave the men out of there, you know. They've already figured it out. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, what I think is so cool about this, and I mean, I've shared this a couple of times when I've spoken about the event, is that I have made some of the most amazing connections. Like literally my best friends in Bali, I met through an event that I was invited to go to with a group of women. And those women literally became my sisters and have become some of my best friends from just gathering and getting yourself in the room.
I can imagine. And, you know, you meet so many different people.
Yeah.
A lot of diversity, and you get people from probably all over the place, right?
That's right. But who are self-selecting. And I think that's what's so cool about an event like this is that, okay, are you interested in becoming a better version of yourself? Are you interested in getting better results in your business and in your life? Then you're going to be in a room full of other women who have those exact same values. And I think that not only is it amazing for building friendships, but also for business collaborations. I mean, I have probably in the last year, the last 8-9 months, whatever we are, oh my gosh, we're already at the end of September. Crazy. our company's probably generated 6 figures alone in revenue just from connections made at events. And I think that what is so interesting about this is that a lot of the times we hem and haw or say, oh, it's so hard to get there, or, you know, but when you just make a commitment and show up, the connections that you make can catapult you forward and, you know, bring new business opportunities, collaboration opportunities. It's just incredible.
So. Yeah. So you definitely have to be out there. You can't stay home and hope that things are going to come to you.
That's it. And that's the bottom line. Yeah, it's so well said. And I think that that relates to, you know, putting yourself out there in an online sense. But when you have the opportunity to get in the room with people, get in the room.
Right. Get some FaceTime, folks. That's the bottom line. And on that note, Kate, thank you so much for joining us. Tell people again your website and how they can find you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me, Sam. It's been great talking with you. They can find me at katescudder.com. That's CaitScudder.com. I'm also really active on Instagram, so you can find me at Kate Scudder. And then if you do a little Facebook search for The Radiant Entrepreneur and look for the group entitled The Radiant Entrepreneur, you can come join us there. I put out weekly free trainings, videos, and there's an amazing community with hundreds of other women entrepreneurs in there.
Wow, and you got great energy. I don't know why anybody would not want to follow you.
Aww,
you know?
Thank you.
So you guys are in good hands when you follow Kate. And thank you so much for all that you do. You know, I mean, it's amazing. And you have a nice air about you and everything. And and the guy you met over in Bali is very, very fortunate.
Thanks, Sam.
To have you. And so, and also all the best to you with the move to LA and stuff.
Thank you.
So you're welcome back anytime. You have an open invitation.
Thank you.
Tell
very
us
much.
How things are working out for
I
you
will.
In LA and everything. Say hi to everybody in Maine.
I will.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening. And tomorrow's Friday, so we'll see you then.
Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.